that he should extend his great love unto such as learn sufficient to own, to redeem and to justify. Oh, it is wonderful that he should care for me enough to die for me. Oh, it is wonderful, wonderful to me. I think of his hands pierced and bleeding to pay the debt. Such mercy, such love and devotion can I forget? No, no, I will praise and adore at the mercy seat until at the glorified throne I kneel at his feet. Oh, it is wonderful that he should care for me enough to die for me. Oh, it is wonderful, wonderful to me.
How much that's new to you? All right. Well, if you read the words on there, yeah, I think you'll see quickly why I thought that's one that we should learn. So it gets up there a little bit, should have made you stand, but y'all did well, did well. Page 238. We'll make you stand on this one. There you go.
Once apart from God and dead in sin, no light my heart could see, but God, God's word, the light I found, now Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth in me. Lives in me. As rays of light from yonder sun, the flowers of earth set free, so life and light and love came forth from Christ living in me. Christ lives in me. That Christ lives in me. As lies afar within the sea, as in a corner tree, so praise the God of truth and grace, His Spirit dwells in me. Christ lives in me. In me, with longing all my heart is filled, that like him I may be, as on a wondrous thought I dwell, that Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth in me.
All right, two newer songs to you guys, but they've been around a while. So good job, Pastor.
Praise the Lord for that truth. You know, Paul said, as in me and my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. Amen. Brother Tom, would you pray for us tonight? Yes. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, brother. Brother Baxter thoroughly enjoyed being here today. Very excited. He's with the folks at Independent tonight. And said if we want to sit down and eat, we're ready to go that way. We went that way for lunch and went and ate in the valley. So I got to know a little bit more about him. So, yeah, country boy. And just... They do crazy stuff. Well, so, I don't know. How many of y'all are familiar with Michigan people at all? You know what Upers are? If you know, yeah. I asked him, I said, are you a Uper? He's like, you know what Upers are? I said, yeah. I said, that's, yes. And crazy stuff. Crazy stuff. Brother Harvey, the wintertime, driving on Lake Superior. And I'm talking Lake Superior, right? So Great Lakes. You got to know Great Lakes, you think you're in the ocean. I mean, it's not like, well, we got Lake Louise. We got, you can't see the other, I mean, they're like, they're huge, right? So he said they go ice fishing. They hit the edge of the lake, and they drive. And a half hour later, they're still driving. And he said, pretty soon they come. There's all a bunch of rural cars. They're fishing an open lead, and like in the ice, like 40 minutes out on Lake Superior. I said, that sounds like redneck fishing at its finest, you know. He said when the wind changed, they all jump in and take off back because there's an opening in the ice. There's a crack. And he said, with the wind, it gone from like that much open to that much open that they all had to drive across. And he said, there's an island out there that like 200 people live on. And he said that they don't drive across it on snow machines till Christmas. And then he said, the first guy across, he goes about, you know, 120 miles an hour across that thing. And then in the wintertime, because the wind howls, you know, it's the wintertime, they take all the old Christmas trees and dot the trail out so everybody knows how to go, because out in the middle of the lake. But so that's about right. So when they say they're closer to Canada than they are to, I mean, it's the truth. I mean, it's just, you know, right across the way. But yeah, just high spirits. I hope, loved Alaska. He said just stuff was so similar here to other places. And I said, you meet people, some from Colorado, maybe Montana or Idaho, wherever, they say that about Alaska. So he just loved it. Said thank you so much for the kindness and the opportunity to be here. His wife is in Kentucky with her parents. Her parents are down there. She's trying to get back to Michigan to have this baby. And not sure if she's going to make it or how that's going to work. So I said, well, we will pray for her. Abby is her name. And so we'll pray for Miss Abby that all will go well there. So, amen.
Page 230. We sang Sunlight earlier, so now we'll do Heavenly Sunlight. All three stanzas.
Walking in sunlight all of my journey, over the mountains through the deep veil, Jesus has said I'll never forsake it. Promise divine and never can fail. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine.
Thank you.
offering? All right. Jake, you know as well. Heavenly Father, we give thank you for this evening, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Speak about the individuals there in the back of the van. Lord, we pray even now for them. Lord, your hand of mercy will be on. It sounds like an open field. The desire for people to know you after spiritually starved for so long. We just pray that even now, as we begin to have for us to large missions worldwide, that Lord, we'll see those faces. Lord, we'll see your desire to see them.
Page 229. Hopefully you didn't shut your book. It was the same page that you were just on. 229, since I have been redeemed, first, second, and the last.
Yeah.
Thank you, Brother Joe and Michelle, for our music. Thank you, kiddos, for listening well this morning. I only heard like one. Is it almost over yet? That's awesome. You guys did great. I mean, I say that sometimes to my wife. Is it over yet? All you got to do is say, now let's pray. You know, we can all go home and release everybody. You guys did great. Thank you so much. I almost made mention of that. They did good, Miss D. I thought they did really good. And I know you missed Junior Church, and it's way more exciting. And hopefully, Brother Don has a good time, and he has lots of awesome hunting stories to tell you. You know, manly exploits and that kind of thing, you know. But amen. Romans chapter 6 tonight. Romans 6. Romans chapter 6. We're going to be looking at being servants, and why some servants are better servants than others, what it takes to be a good servant. Servitude is probably not a very popular thought in these days. Nobody wants to serve somebody else. If only they understood the Word of God. He who is greatest is he who steps on the most people on the way up, you know, and it's like the golden rules, he that has the gold makes the rules. No, it's just wrong, okay? It's wrong. If we look at the Bible and the disciples, they get caught up in that. Man, who's the chief? Who's the greatest? Man, the one that serves all the people. The one that serves is the chief. The one that serves is greatest. And that's what Christ came to do, came to serve, to help, to show them, be an example. But so Romans 6, it just cuts down to the heart of all things. We're talking about sin and getting those things taken care of, and our old man being crucified on the cross with Christ, that we're not trying to trust Christ and then do a bunch of good things to build a resume for us in God's eyes. That's not what God asks us to do. The good that we do is because, like we sang tonight, Christ lives in us, and he's the one that makes the difference. He's the one that helps you forgive. He's the one that helps you love. We're talking about the missionaries talking about trying to, if we could only make people understand. And the only thing in the Bible we talk about that doesn't fail, doesn't miss, is love, right? Charity suffers long and is kind. The Bible says it doesn't fail as long as we do that. And that's why we got to have Christ, because his version of love is the one that doesn't fail. Our version of love is ends up being like in comparison to what God would have. Last time we were in Romans 6, we were yielding. We were looking at yielding and the three themes in Romans 6, know, reckon, and yield. And we were yielding ourselves to God. And looking at verse number 13, neither yield to your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. All right, somebody 18 and younger, tell me what yield means. What you think yield means. If somebody says to yield, let me give somebody older a shot first, okay? Yield. Now I was hoping one of our drivers was going to like help me out here, because I know they cover that stuff. Still, what? And Jared's like, I'm like 19, bro. Keep going. Well, go ahead. Just stop. Stop and look around. You definitely need to look, huh? And if somebody's coming, then you need to stop, right? Because you're not the one with the right of way. You're not the one that, okay, no signs, good to go. We've all been on some roads adultery, like, there should be, at least be a yield sign here. I mean, at least, you know. And then sometimes there's one like, yeah, I don't know why that's here per se. And then sometimes they're temporary yields. Where we grew up, a lot of logging roads. And, you know, the road may not be used for like 10 years. But then they start hauling logs out of there. Big trucks full of trees, and here they come, and it's like, you know, if you better yield. If that thing says you yield, and you better holler out before you start up that road. One lane,
And but if there's a yield, we need to stop. And the Bible says, yield yourselves unto God. Oh, God, bless my way. So, God, show me my way, right? Father, we pray that you'd help us tonight as we look into this next part of Romans 6. We thank you for your grace to us. We love you. We cannot do any of these things without you. Now, the Bible says, without you, nothing we can do would be possible. And, Lord, without faith in you, nothing is, it's not possible to please you and to do your will. Lord, so we look to you tonight. We need your help with this. And then just to understand it, Father, we want to make it as simple as we can, comparing Scripture with Scripture tonight. We love you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Verse number 14. Or sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. When we finish chapter 5, it says, the law entered. Moreover, the law entered, verse 20, that the offense might abound. Right? So we got the law in the Old Testament. And because of that law, then there was the thou shalt not, because there were the things that we weren't supposed to do. And in the Old Testament, boy, they had to pay that price every year. They had to give that sacrifice every year. And it was a picture of Christ to come. When Christ came, he paid that sin debt in full. And there's no more sin debt to be paid. So what God is saying here in the Word of God, what they're saying is, because that sin debt's been paid for, there's no more sin debt to pay. If you decide you're going to live out from underneath Christ and just sin and sin and sin and sin, there's nothing else to pay for that. And some people get confused with, somebody could lose their salvation. That's not possible to lose salvation in Christ. That's not possible. To make the decision to be in Christ and to continue in sin is not the same thing. The double-minded man is unstable. You're either in Christ or you're not. Amen. And if you can't see it, your heart is deceiving yourself. And that's a confused state to be in. In Christ, I would do things. We talked about light last Sunday night, if I remember. I guess I preached last Sunday night. In Christ, okay, no darkness. There is none. Okay? And again, not talking about sinlessness, but living in sin. Sinlessness and living in sin. Let sin have dominion over you. Christ died for sin so we could live dead to sin. Christ died for sin so we could live dead to sin. Verse number 21, it says, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life. By Jesus Christ our Lord. Without Christ, we wouldn't have righteousness, and it wouldn't be able to reign in our life. We would be like all other men and women, trying our best. But the Bible says, verse number 15 of Romans 6, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Verse 1 of chapter 6, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Grace is, boy, God giving us blessing. We have Christ. We don't have to give that sacrifice. What a blessing. It's a covering. Some people look at it and say, well, it's just like this, canopy of goodness, and underneath it, everything you can just, God will forgive it. You can just go to Him. And our thought is, boy, everything I do should bring glory to God. Everything I do should bring glory to God. So we shouldn't live thinking that if I'm going to be in Christ that I should sin. He says we should yield to Him. We should reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Right? Because the old man has the appetite to sin. That's why the best place to leave him is there with Christ. Dead on the cross. I mean, just like that. You just leave him there dead to sin. Just leave it there. Whether you have to wake up every morning, because that appetite in the flesh would still want to be there. Folks, we could change back without Christ. As a Christian, you could change back into what you were in two shakes in the flesh. You can do it. You can do it. It can be done, and it is done. To keep from doing that, our hearts have to be changed. They have to be transformed, the Bible says. So we have to find that the will of God, and to prove that. We have to give ourselves to God. In verse number 15, shall we sin because we are not under this law, but under grace? God forbid. As we look at 16 and 17 and 18, it's going to give us what we need to stay on track. You have to ask yourself these questions. I'll pose them. Some of them are in here to help you. I'll give you the ones that I'll pose to myself, or, you know, get a big decision. I'm thinking about something. Say, hey, this is to make sure we don't get off track. This is to make sure that we are asking the right person, that we are doing things for the right reason. We don't do them for the right season, God, or for the right reason. God sees those things. He knows why you do what you do. He knows we can make it look a certain way. We can spin it a certain way, but if it's not for God's glory, He would certainly know. Verse 16, okay, something else to know. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves, okay, now we talked about how that yield is, stopping to let somebody else choose, okay? Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey. His servants ye are, to whom ye obey. And the Bible says, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. Now, the Christian could be a servant to somebody. Now, I didn't say to somebody, so we think of a person. I have here the S's, Satan, self, and sin. If you serve any of those three categories, the fruit of those things, it's just going to die. It's going to be dead. Those things that you're doing that you think are so worth doing, where your energies are going, your monies are going, your times are going, all those things, boom, die. It's going to be dead. Well, what's the problem with that as a Christian? At the judgment seat, there's going to be nothing to give. There's going to be nothing there. Because, man, I was with you. We should have had all sorts of fruit. We should have had it should have been just an awesome bumper crop. Where is it? I got nothing, man. We put the fire to it, and what happens? It all burns up. Wood, hay, and stubble is junk. Absolute junk. No jewels there. No precious stones there. No gold. Things that are hidden. Things that aren't seen. Oh, but I had all this stuff that was seen. I had all this stuff that was great. It looked great. It caught my eye. It had my check. But guess what? It doesn't survive the fire. And it doesn't bring glory to God. And the Bible says here, servants, ye are to whom ye obey. I don't understand this obey movement. I don't understand the shirts. I saw a guy with the shirt on, Obey Worldwide. I don't know what it means. And I need somebody to help me, right? It's a brand. It looks like a street brand. It looks like something kids rolling down the street on skateboards would wear, the way it's written, the way it's obey. I like obey. Wonderful. Trust and obey. Wonderful. But I have a feeling, Brother Joe, if I approached them on this matter, we would not be like-minded. Yeah, it wouldn't be what it looks like. And I'm thinking, what is this obey? Obey what? Obey whom? All right? It's just like love. Love what? Love whom? Right? Faith. Faith in whom? You know, it's like, they throw these words around, okay? But servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. Now the good servant here, verse 17. Context. But God be thanked that ye were, past tense, the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart. You've obeyed from the heart. What's the difference in, son, you need to take the trash out. Ugh. Take the trash can. Ugh. None of my kids. These aren't personal illustrations now, okay? All right? Because I take trash out every once in a while, right? Yeah, right. This could be me, you know? The trash needs to get taken out. Mrs. Garner, I'm just like, oh. Yeah, man. Oh, man. It's full again? Yeah. Yeah. Anyhow, right? And throw it, miss the trash can, and all these things, right? And it's terrible. What a baby, right? It's terrible. Oh, but the trash got taken out. You know, a blue ribbon for me. Yeah, that's right. When we look at obedience from the heart is, I know what is needed. I know what I've been assigned to do. And I'm anticipating the opportunity to... Is the trash full yet? I can't wait. Now, there's those people in the world, right? Is it full yet? Oh, not full. Unbelievable. Trash can. It's like watching a pot boil. Just got to wait for it to get full so I can do my... Oh! Seeing somebody go to the trash. Oh, that's not going to fill it. That'd be a waste of that. You know what I'm saying? Like, annoyingly, like, just can't wait to... But obedience from the heart is like that. Obedience from the heart looks for opportunities. Obedience from the heart doesn't have to be told. Obedience from the heart asks. Obedience from the heart doesn't drag their feet, doesn't wait, doesn't put it off another day, doesn't consider it a drudgery, doesn't consider it a duty. I have to do this. Okay? I'm not crazy about the word duty. I know it's in the Bible. It's only in there, I think, three times. Duty is I have to. Love is I want to. Right? You show me a duty marriage. Yeah. All right. Come back here about February, right? That's not fun. I have to. Love marriage, on the other hand, woo, exciting, right? Wonderful. When can we get alone without the kids and go on a date? They're getting old enough now. We just leave them all behind. And whatever happens, happens, you know. It's just like we just can't go very far. Amen. You know, call all the neighbors, you know, make sure they're within the 2-mile radius, you know, and we'll be back, right? Yeah, amen. Our little neighborhood fire truck goes by, and you about know where everybody is. So it's like, oh, that was somebody then. Mercy, love, it's a totally different thing. But look, we're looking at this word here of obey, of obedience and obeying. Servants, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey? And we want to serve the chief servant. We want to serve him. How am I going to serve him now? You realize this life that we live in now is just dress rehearsal for a long chunk of time coming up. I mean, we think our economy and all our stuff, you know. We don't know what it's like to live under a king, right? But we will. We will. And when Christ talks about the kingdom of God coming, right? Our service now, we could almost think of being in a king's kingdom if that king is God. And that king is Christ. And we're helping this world. We're doing this thing. This world's not my home. We're thinking that way. I don't own possessions. I don't have stuff. I've given everything to the Lord. He uses it. He uses me. I'm his servant. I had a good quote I read, probably 11, 12 years ago. I used to write notes a lot when I was going to prison. I'd just write little encouragements to guys and stuff like that, and or send them birthday cards or whatnot. And I'd write at the bottom, okay, because guys in prison really struggle with this because everything is a step to get somewhere, to get something. You know, the true test of being a servant is acting like one. When you get treated like one, right? I want to be a servant. Well, I'll take this out. Do this. Do that. Right now? Right now, it's 9 o'clock. I want to go home. Do it. All right. Right? And then we do the kick and the whole thing, right? Because we're not thinking about serving from the heart. The Bible says that in verse number 17, ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. There are some people that obey if there's something in it for them. Not good. Not good. God won't be the means to any of our worldly ends. He won't do it. It's been tried. It's been tried in ministry. It's been tried outside of ministry. Well, if God would help me do this, I could get this and then, right, consume it upon our lust. And that is not what God's for. God says, boy, I will help you. I will do this, but it's going to be towards my end. My end. So every morning we pray and we ask him and say, Lord, what wilt thou have us to do? We're here to serve you. We want to obey you and we want to do it from the heart. Now the heart's deceitful. And that's what I'm talking about. We can say, yes, we're going to do it. But why are we doing it now? Is it solely for God's glory? Lord, I want to help somebody. Well, help this person. Oh, Lord, they're outside my range. I don't know if I could help them. I don't know if I would help them. I don't even. And we, all these things, world systems, situational things, respect of persons, you, all these things. It's all in it. I just help that person, right? Just help them. I'm not here to do it. You got to do it. You're an extension of me. You. I don't know if I want to serve and do that. I don't know if that's what I signed up for. Not heart service, not heart obedience for sure. Does it make sense, young people? Our parents asking us to do something. And us being like, sure, wonderful, I'll do it. If you make up in your mind, see, serving your parents This isn't a plug for us parents. I mean, it could be, you know, a real good commercial, right? Serving your parents. You got to make up your mind. I'm going to go past obey. I'm going to serve them. That's a totally different level. Serving them means you're watching out for them. But you say in your head, they're supposed to watch out for me. They're here for me. Okay? Tables turn when you get older, but that's just the way it goes, right? He said, I want to serve you. I want to help you, all right? We got one in our house, and she won't name any names in the Garner house, but she sometimes over-serving. Holy, I was like, well, can I do this and this? And, hold on. Hold on. But thank you for the help. It's wonderful. It's great. It's great. God enjoys this. He enjoys this heart that's obedient for service. You want to obey from the heart. That form of doctrine which was delivered you. If you have in your mindset, well, you know, once I hit such and such an age, I'm out, right? And I'm done. God knows. And it stinks to high heaven. And you may be a good fake until you get to be that age, you know. Or you may be horrible fake at it. I don't know. But it's very easily seen, and God sees it. Verse number 18, it says, being then made free from sin. We go back to number 14, sin shall not have dominion over you. Verse 18 says, being then made free from sin. Straight across the page, it says, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Okay? In Christ, dead to sin. Serving self is sin. And God wants you to serve him. Who will you obey? Who will you yield yourself to obey? Who will you obey from the heart? Who gets your time, talent, and treasure? Who is it? Right? God knows! God knows! God knows me! God knows me when I was a teenager, and he knows all the things I wanted to do, right? And they were the same things that our teenagers wanted to do, right? It's the same stuff. No, I got ideas and goals, and I want to do this, I want to do that. And none of it was like, Lord, could I please do this? Or that was just like, man, I'd really like to do this. Fall town, country boy. And I was like, man, I'd really like to go do this. Now, I wasn't like, I want to go to Europe and all that stuff. But, you know, the other side of Spokane, it was like an hour and a half away. Might as well have been Europe for me, right? I just want to go to college and, you know, play football and be a fish biologist. That's all I wanted to do. No one asked me, like, did you ever do your dream job? I was like, yeah, what was it? It was a fish biologist. It was awesome, right? Got fish every day. It was wonderful. It was great. Dream job gone, right? There it goes. No more life. Life's over now. I got to serve Jesus and all that. No! Right? I figured out what I was really supposed to be doing. Why? Change of heart. It's all it takes. Change of heart. Change of heart to take the nastiest, ugliest, wrinkled up, frowning face and make it radiant. Change of heart. That's what does it, right? It's like, oh, put on a smile. You ever see the fake smiles? People, I put on a smile. I said a smile, right? Because they only go from frown to like straight across and they think it's a smile. They're really sweating trying to do that, you know? No, both edges, you know? And we had it's Pastor Mike. Pastor Mike. Where was that? He always taught the kids how to smile. Was it camp? He said, the kids, smiling is really easy. So just takes two fingers. Just pull your fingers apart like that. Put them right here. So like that. And he just like shove it up in there and it just had the goofiest face. He's like, and there you got it. There you got it. You can smile. A lot of people don't have much to smile about. But I promise you, if we're obeying God from the heart, there's not much that make you frown. Because you know stuff is just small potatoes compared to God. Little stuff, right? Somebody asked me to pray the other day. Lord, I need you to pray for my son. I need you to pray for him. Okay, let's do it. Now, I don't know his son. I don't know what he needs. I don't know what his problems are. I know nothing about it. But God does. And I'll sit and wring my hands about, oh, boy, I don't know. You know everything. So I tell him he knows everything. He said, well, at least I know Garner knows that I know everything. That's all you need to know. Prayer is not getting from God what you want. Prayer is getting a hold of God. Period. That's it. God, you know, and I know that you know, and that's about all. If you get there in prayer, that's wonderful. That's what God wants. Because the rest you leave up to Him. Oh, God, do it. I mean, Who knows what this world would be like if we got to plan it out, right? God, we just want this, and we're going to pray to this end. And I would struggle with, well, just pray for this. I'm like, I get stuck because all I want to pray is, Lord, you know. And that's it. I don't know how it's going to end up. I may not even make it till tomorrow. But I'm okay with that, right? We obey from the heart. God knows. God knows. The Bible says, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Because we obeyed. Obedience is a choice. Why do some people choose to serve God and some people choose to not serve God as Christians? It's a choice. Well, they went to Bible college and I didn't. No, it's a choice to love God. How come some people, man, singing's been great. Singing was pretty awesome. It was like classic. Singing's great every week, but it was fun. It's fun when we get strangers in here sometimes and everybody sings, but then it was fun and somebody, one of us comments like, man, your music is amazing. And I was thinking myself, man, it's just us. It's just us. But anyhow, why? It's from the heart. I hate canned stuff. I hate it. If it's canned, it's just like, blah. Give me scratch, baby. Give it to me. Yeah, I didn't have a canned mom. I just didn't. I mean, like, I was one of those kids, like, what's a store? What is that? Like, where does it go? I heard of this place called Costco. And, like, once every 2 months, we got to go see it. You know, I was a kid. Dad bring home enough money and say, there you go, Costco. Wait, sweet. We'd stop it. There was a Kmart right across the street on Division. We'd go into Kmart. Mom would grab a whole box of waffles. And she'd about eat the whole thing by the time we got through. Got through Kmart by an empty box of Whoppers. I mean, I was just like, Mom's M.O. That's just how it rolled. And you see my mom. She's like this little tiny lady, but man, she'd always kill a box of Marlboro. So we go to Costco. Wonderful. We get stuff. You know what I'm talking about? Scratch food. And I know I'm blessed that way. I know I'm blessed because I say, oh, you know, I can get a can of this, a can of this. I'm like, no, wonderful. Some stuff's great with cans. But I'm talking about, man, worship, canned worship, right? We understand subcontractors, right? You get a bid for a job, and you're like, I don't want to do that. I'm going to pay so-and-so to do that, right? And then I'm going to make like 20% on top of his work. And wonderful, right? So it's subbed out. We don't sub out our worship. We don't sub out our singing. We don't sub out our praise. We don't sub out any of this stuff. Well, if we just get a really good group to get us all fired up in the morning, yeah. Right. I mean, do you think about like the praise and worship group, bro? On a Sunday morning? Trying to get Christians excited on a Sunday morning? We're going to pray. Not impossible. Yeah, I got to wake them up first. And I'm just saying, mercy, we want it to come from within. We won't have to come from within. We can tell the kids, you know, out playing. I said, when you put the helmet on, you step across the line. I said, somewhere inside you, there's got to be a little switch. Okay? And I said, I know that's your buddy, but when you're doing drills, it's like you have to explain to them the concept of brother-in-laws. Because it's one of those things, they don't even get it. You know, college, that was a big thing. No brother-in-law, you know, it's like, what you couldn't do is like, well, that guy's married my sister, so I got to kind of be nice to him, you know? And that was the idea, so I like didn't like destroy him in a drill. I said, guys, you got like a trillion dollars worth of equipment here. I can't hear a thing. You know, it's just like, you've got to, bracing for contact. I mean, we have the whole team line up. We're doing this tackling drill. And you know, I go to one of that because I'm the coordinator. I'm going to do this and this and this, this and this. And we tackle for like 20 minutes. And our whole 20 minutes was like two tackles made that were decent. You know, I looked at Moom. I said, oh, my soul. I said, well, that's terrible. He's like, that was horrible. Now, we don't say that in front of them. We tell them they did a good job. And then we go in the coach's room and be like, oh, my soul. All right. Because some of them, it just hasn't got to the inside yet. When you watch a kid, like, get in his stance and just go and crunch, and you're just like, that is awesome. He's got it. We didn't have to tell him it. It was like something else there. For the Christian that you, well, see, you got to love Jesus, and you got to do that, and you got to pump him up every day, but they don't have it on the inside. It's not there. You have to constantly think about, oh, they're going to do this. I don't do that game. I don't do it. You either love Christ or you don't. And I'm going to come to your house every 6 hours. You still love Jesus now, don't you? You're still going to come to church and tithe, aren't you? Because if you don't, we're sunk. Oh, that is no way to live. Preachers like that. I was like, there's no way to live. Either got it or you don't. I'll be here if it's empty or not. All right? I mean, that's just the way it is. Either on the inside or it's not. Obedience from the heart. What is obedience on the surface? Oh, I'll do it till I have to, right? Right? You look at the example of the hireling in the Testament and the good shepherd, right? As soon as the wolves come, they're out. Oh, the person obeys from the heart. They're until the job's over. Are we done yet? Versus, is there anything else that needs done? Right? Servants are the best. They're just the best. They're not flashy. They're not shiny. But they're there till the bitter end. Right? And they do the work. And they do it for the right reason. And they do it from the heart. And the Bible says the end of those things will be righteousness. Verse 19, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. Right? We are infirm in the flesh. For as ye have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, right? Over and over and over again. Even so now, yield your members as servants to righteousness unto holiness. So in verse 11, he tells us we need to reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, and that we need to yield our members. And then verse 17, he says we need to obey from the heart. And verse 19 again, we need to yield your members. And remember, Paul said, I die daily, 1 Corinthians 15:31. I die daily. We need to take up our cross daily, Luke 9:23. These things are things that need to happen all the time. Every day. Every day. Go up and do something dumb, right? We'll do something silly. Why? Because we let the old man play it in him. Play it down. We let him make a choice that we do not want to do that. We want to be consistent. We want to obey from the heart. Verse 20 says, for when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. And that is a scary thought, to be free from righteousness. What fruit, verse 21, question, what fruit had you then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, and it's the third time it's used in this chapter, being made free from sin and become servants to God. Okay? Servants to God. I'm going to serve the past. Serve God. Well, I'm going to serve my church. Serve God first. Okay? Serve God. Serve God. Serve God. Right? Serve God. The Bible says in verse number 22, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. And in verse 23, this is the verse everybody knows, right? But you ask them to quote any of the rest of Romans 6, they're like, I know the last verse, right? For the wages of sin is death. Okay, but again, it goes back to what we receive from who we obey, right? If we yield to sin and we yield our members to sin, the things that come from that are going to be death. The wages of sin is death. Now we'll tell this to a lost person, right? Which is totally fine. But we understand that, like, we're teaching young Christians this stuff. The wages of sin, to choose to do things that aren't going to last, is that at sin they're going to die, it's going to be gone. That it says the gift of God is eternal life. Things that are going to last. The gift of God is Christ. The life of Christ in us. He gives that to us as a gift. Oh, it's eternal life. It's just like Ponce de Leon looking for the fountain of life in Florida or wherever it was when I was in 7th grade history class and all the rest of conquistadors and everybody. No, that's not what it's talking about. It's not what it's like. Well, if I could just live forever, it's not I could have the life of Christ to make it through this mess called life. That's the gift. It's exciting, right? I'm telling you, man, Monday morning smiles are hard to come by. You got to get around the right people, okay? Got to get around the right people. This could be, I can only imagine, the DMV, right? Everybody's walking in there and they're like, it's Monday! It's Monday! And it's just like, bar the doors! Bar the doors, right? Because the first people you get in were the ones that didn't make it at 5 o'clock on Friday. And they're, oh, my God, it's Friday. I'm telling you, right? But if we serve God from the inside, man, we can smile and say, man, I'm sorry. We can have a smartphone. We can be a help to somebody. We can share with them the greatest story that's ever been told. We can tell them about a Savior that's saved, about sin that can be defeated, about all kinds of victory that we can have because of Christ, because of this gift that God has given us. It says, man, it's eternal. It's not going to die. It's not separate from Christ, it is Christ. It's the life of Christ that he gives us now that we can live. Here, as an example, we have God living inside of us. We can yield ourselves to him, our obedience, and it's our sticking point tonight. It must be from the heart. It's got to be on the inside. And the heart's deceitful above all things, so that heart needs to be changed. How do I change it? I beat it over and over again with the Word of God. I got to put the Bible in. That's why I memorize it. That's why we read it. That's why we think about it. That's why the music that we should have is music that would repeat these words. The Bible says psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. All those things reinforce the Word of God. They don't bring ideas separate from the Word of God. Oh, Brother Keith, is this music good or is this music good? They talk about God. They talk about, does it make you think Scripture? Or does it just make you feel good? That's the difference. I mean, Brother Mark, if I had Brother Mark, said, Brother Mark, why don't you preach music for three services straight? Well, we get some help on music. Brother Mark knows. I mean, it'll be just like a lecture. Brother Mark will live it. I'm telling you, okay, there's a difference. I don't quibble in the artists and the drums. Is it psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs? Does it make you think Scripture? Does it make you think God? Or does it just make your flesh feel good? Because I know it too, right? I got flesh too. I know it. I was like, that's great. Oh, mercy. That's a Christian music. Mercy. That doesn't sound like psalms, hymns, or spiritual songs. Or maybe it does. I'm not so old or whatever. You look at it and think, hey, that's not half bad words, right? Don't even necessarily do it like the world per se, because I can't tell that difference from this guy over here who's on the stage with all this mess going on. I don't want any confusion here. Because if you cut flesh out of it, guess what, people? There's no money in it. Oh, got me now. Yeah. I want to obey from the heart. I don't have any ulterior motive in it. None. Zero. We just praise the Lord. That's how it continues each day.
Well, what if we get a red letter on our door saying, cease and desist?
Hey, amen. We gotta obey from the heart. We gotta do something. Amen. And I'm glad God has the answer. We live in uncertain times. It's pretty exciting. Either Christ is plotting the course or who? Let's stand tonight. Obedience from the heart. We have our hymn of invitation, Where He Leads Me to, 76. Take the Lord with you into Monday. 276 tonight. The altar's open if you need to pray.
I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling.
all the way. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him, all the way.
Amen. Thank you for listening tonight. Wednesday night is just us, as far as I know. Brother Baxter slipped in on me, and I tell him, some guys will call ahead, you know, even months and months ahead, and they'll say, well, how about between these dates and these dates? And it's like, I got a few other churches to call, and I always tell them, call me back later. Call me last, because we're easy to fit in if, you know, you got to work with Brother Duffett or Brother McGovern, you know. I said, they got more stuff going on, whatever. I don't know if that happened, or I just, like, space cadeted it and wrote it on something that got, who knows, but Friday, hey brother, looking forward to being with you Sunday. Amen. Yes, yes. All I can remember is Africa. It says that Baxter is Africa. I couldn't remember the Sudan. I couldn't remember. But I know Brother Mark is supposed to be with us on that, because I had to ask him. Brother Mark won't come here unless I ask him, because that's his policy as an evangelist. I know for sure. I was like, Brother Mark, it's me, Brother Keith from Pasco. It's like, just show up, man. And, you know, we're having meetings for a week. Great, Brother Mark. This is wonderful. So, anyways, I told him. So I called him. I got my official phone call in and said, if you're in Alaska this year, Brother Mark, we'd love to have you. So that'll be Sunday next, so this coming Sunday. And we look forward to that. So, meeting, let me know. And Brother Jake, you got to pray. I was going to have Brother Josh pray, but he had to go out. But can you pray and close us tonight, Brother? Thanks.